Father, we thank Thee for this honor and this privilege that we have yet again of speaking on Thy behalf, sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask tonight, Father, that if there be any that are here without Him, that they may be saved tonight. And if not, Father, yet still we are pleased to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know that it is the old, old story. And we are pleased to speak of Him. Pleased to tell forth His glory. Be with us, therefore, we pray. And help us so to do, for we pray it in His worthy and precious name. Amen. Would you turn with me, please, to John's Gospel and chapter 11. The Gospel of John and chapter 11. Beginning to read at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha, and her sister, and Lazarus. When He heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that saith He to His disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he seeth the light of this world. If a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said He, and after that He saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said His disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that He had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us go also, that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him, let him go. The Lord will bless the public reading of his word. Now last week I spoke to you concerning Bethesda, the house of mercy. Tonight I'd like to speak to you about Bethany, the house of hope. Now the word Bethany does not mean the house of hope. It means the house of unripe figs. But not finding much of spiritual significance there, we would rather talk of what happened at Bethany. Bethany is a little town about 2 miles from Jerusalem, just over the Mount of Olives, as it were, on the road on the way down to the Dead Sea into Jericho. It's a small little town, even today. Just nestles on the slope of the hill there. A small town, friendly folk. And the place where Jesus was comfortable. The scripture says now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And the question must be asked, first of all, is he comfortable in our home? Be comfortable in our heart. But that's not the message tonight. I would like to speak to you tonight about hope. I was very glad that Sherry chose that song to sing tonight. It took a miracle. We're going to speak about a notable miracle tonight. You know, perhaps it's because we haven't seen too many miracles that we tend to think and believe of God as though he has less power than he does. And we'll be speaking of that miracle of love and grace that Sherry sang of, and how much greater a miracle it is than even this miracle that we're going to read of tonight. Yet this was a notable miracle. It's not every day that a man dies and comes back. In fact, the Bible records only about 7 or 8 times that this happened in the whole history of the world. It's a very rare thing. But let's begin at the beginning. I was remarking to Brother Alex just before we started to pray, just before the service tonight, you know, there are many people that say, the Bible is a boring book. A boring book. But then we have stories like this. And there's so much going on in this little story. We have the disciples. We have Thomas. We have the interaction between the Lord Jesus and Mary and Martha. There's so much going on. No, the Bible is not a boring book. There is much here to interest us. And I'd like to speak, first of all, of hope in danger. And this has reference to the disciples. The first danger was that of sickness. His sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, they came to the right person. And if we are sick, there's no one better to go to. Whether that be a physical sickness, or whether it be the sickness of sin, there is no one better to go to than Jesus of Nazareth. They took the wisest course. Now there are many of us who, and you may be one of them tonight, who have the sickness of sin. Have you taken the wisest course? Have you gone to Jesus of Nazareth? You cannot heal yourself, you know. Only He can heal you. Then there was the danger of the Jews. He said unto His disciples, verse 7, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews have laid sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? They thought He had lost His mind. They're referring, of course, to what happened in chapter 10. At the Feast of the Dedication, where He said things that the Jews really didn't care for, and they took up stones to stone Him. Now this was the Feast of Hanukkah. And that takes place every year around about December the 22nd. Or thereabouts. And this was the following spring. The incident was fresh in the minds of the disciples. And they weren't really anxious to go back to Judea again. Now all they had in mind was the danger from the Jews. Lord, remember, you know, you remember what happened last time we were there? I mean, do you really want to go down there again, Lord? I mean, is it really wise? But there is hope in danger. Whether it come from sickness. Whether it come from other people. Because, you see, He is Lord over sickness. Verse 6. When He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, here is an astonishing thing. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Now, you would have thought that the Scripture would have said, now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Therefore, when He heard He was sick, He hurried to the place where Lazarus was. No. When He heard that Lazarus was sick, He abode still in 2 days in the place where He was. He is in command of every sickness. He is in command of every situation. And whatever befalls us, He is capable of handling the situation. Whatever sickness befalls us, He is capable of handling the situation. Even the disease and sin. He is Lord over the Jews. We read in verse 10 that when they took up stones to stone Him, He passed through and went His way. Now this was not the first time that this had happened. They tried to do the same thing in Nazareth. And He passed through and went His way again. They had no power over Him. He had power over them. And it may be that you are here tonight, and in this disease of sin, this sickness of sin that you have, it may be that you are afraid of what people will say. Well, His disciples were afraid of what the Jews would say, and they were afraid of what the Jews would do. But He was master over the Jews. And if you give yourself to Christ tonight, you will find that He will be the master over your friends too. And He will give you the grace to say no to what they want to do. Well, not only is there hope in danger, but there's hope in doubt. I'd like to say a word here on the behalf of Thomas. Doubting Thomas, we call him. And we read many times how that he said, unless I put my finger in the print of the nail and my hand in the wound where the spear went in, I will not believe. And we say, oh, Thomas, you should have believed. Well, he came by this honestly. He was in the habit of doubt. And we see him here. Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples said, let us go also. We may die with him. Good old negative Thomas. Always ready to doubt. Always ready to put the worst face on things. And yet, he persevered. He really no doubt believed that there was a good possibility that if he went down with Jesus to Judea, he would die. But he said, let us also go that we may die with him. Brethren and sisters, I would like to say to you tonight, if this is doubt, I wish I had more of it. He could not see his way clear, yet he was willing to go with Jesus, even unto death. He persevered. He was ready to die, not knowing what would befall him. Ready to follow his beloved master into the jaws of death. So let's not be too hard on doubting Thomas. He had all his dreams and hopes crushed, he thought, when he saw his master die. And he didn't want to be deceived again, so he said, unless I touch him, I will not believe. And what happened to Thomas? Well, we read that he did get his chance to do just that, to put his hand in the print. But it's not recorded that he did so. He got his chance. When he saw the Lord Jesus, he fell on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. And the Lord said unto him, blessed art thou, because you have seen and believed. But blessed more are they who have not seen, yet have believed. Are you here tonight, whether you be saved or unsaved, and you cannot see your way clear? You cannot see what the future holds? There's lots of doubt around. There are many evil and terrible things that are happening in the world. And people that you thought were friends may have done some very evil things to you. Yet there is hope. Even though you doubt, if you persevere, and if you follow Him, and if you are willing to follow Him, even unto death, you will receive that blessing. Art thou? Even as Thomas did. Yes, Thomas was in the habit of doubt. He was a skeptical man. But he would rather be with Jesus of Nazareth, even if it meant death, than to be anywhere else in the world. How is it with you tonight? Are there other places that you would rather be than with Jesus? Are there other things you would rather do than worship Him? Are there other paths you would rather follow than follow Him? If that's true, then you're going to miss out on a lot of blessings. Because the time will come if you persevere and follow through that the blessing will come. So there's hope in danger and hope in doubt. But thank God there's also hope in death. What did Martha and Mary both say to the Lord Jesus? Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. You see, that is precisely the reason Jesus did not come. Because that's probably true. If he had been there, Lazarus may not have died. But Lazarus was allowed to die to show the glory of God. What a privilege was his. What an awesome privilege. He was allowed to die to glorify God. And we think of Lazarus, a lot of times we think of Lazarus, oh, poor Lazarus. He died and he went to heaven and he had to be dragged back. But Lazarus had a privilege that few of us will ever be called upon to have. He was privileged to die for his Lord. And he had fellowship with his Lord in death and in resurrection before anyone else. What a privilege. What a privilege was his to have that fellowship with Jesus. Now this was interesting, because Lazarus speaks to us of fellowship. Jesus, it is recorded, spent only one night in Jerusalem. He never slept there. Never slept in Jerusalem. He did spend the night there one night, but he didn't sleep. The night of his trial. Where did he sleep? Over and over we read, he went to Bethany. And it was here that he spent the night. If he was in the area of Jerusalem, he would spend the night at Bethany. Why? Well, he loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And it was here that he found all that God has ever required of man. When the children of Israel were down in Egypt, the Lord came to Moses and said, go and speak to Pharaoh. And Moses, of course, said, well, you know, Lord, I can't speak. So he gave him Aaron. In any case, Moses and Aaron went and spoke to Pharaoh. And there were three reasons given for letting my people go. In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1 we read, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And that fellowship. In chapter 7 and verse 16 we read, as well as other places, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. And that service. In chapter 10 and verse 25 we read this, let my people go that they may hold a sacrifice to me. Chapter 10 verse 25. And that worship. And that's all that God has ever required of man. Fellowship and service and worship. And he got it at Bethany. Lazarus speaks of fellowship. He had this fellowship with the Lord Jesus that we've just spoken of. And we read in the next chapter, chapter 12, they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. What a wonderful picture. Here is Lazarus, risen from the dead, sitting at the table with the Lord Jesus. Do you have that kind of fellowship? We sat at the Lord's table this morning and had fellowship with him. And it may be that you are here tonight and do not know what it is to have that kind of fellowship. Or it may be that you are here tonight and once knew what it was to have that fellowship, but lately you've been cold. You can have that sort of fellowship. God yearns to have that sort of fellowship from us. That's why the Lord Jesus walked the 2 miles every night to be in Bethany to have fellowship with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Now when we read of Martha, well, we read of her at one time, and she is cumbered about with much serving. And I believe sometimes we say things about Martha that we really shouldn't either. It's good to serve. It's a thing that God requires. And the Lord did not say, Mary has chosen that better part. He said, Mary has chosen the good part. Good to serve, good to worship, but at the right time. And later on we read of Martha. In the same verse I just read, they made him a supper, and Martha served. But it doesn't say that she was cumbered about. See, God wants us to serve. He wants us to have fellowship with him in that way, but he doesn't want us to be cumbered about. And you may be doing many things that you think are for God. It may simply be that you're cumbered about with much service. And you may be busy as a bee, but you may be cumbered about with much service. What happens when you're cumbered about with much serving? Well, you get jealous. And principally, you get jealous of those that worship. And here we come to the third person, Mary. Now, you know, every reference we have to Mary in the New Testament, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's not sitting at the feet of Jesus, she's sitting. We read that when Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And it's good to sit. It's good to be still. It's good to worship. They are sacrifices to the Lord Jesus. Now, do you want to have fellowship with him? Do you want to do things that are meaningful, not only for time, but for eternity? Do you want the ability worship. Well then, look at these three. And even in this situation of death, we find them having fellowship with Him, serving, doing what He tells them, and worshiping Him, even in this situation. No wonder He loved them. They love Him. You see, they realize that for Him, death was not a barrier. Now there are many types of death spoken of in this passage, and we don't have time to go into each and every one, but there's physical death and there's spiritual death and eternal death. But for Him, death is no barrier. He only had to speak a word, and Lazarus came forth. When He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, it comes to mind that when He was dying on the cross, He cried with a loud voice, gave up His spirit. But now here He cries with a loud voice and gives life. And has often been said, you know, it's a good thing He called Lazarus by name and said, "Lazarus, come forth." It's very likely that he was in a cemetery. And if He had said, "Come forth," well, there would have been no end of consternation. Every grave would have opened. But in any case, He said, "Lazarus, come forth." He only had to speak a word, and physical death was overcome. But you know, this is why I was so glad that Sherry sang that song this evening. It was a miracle, yes, to put the stars in place and to hang the world in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. You see, to bring Lazarus back from physical death, He only had to speak a word. Oh, but brethren and sisters, to bring us back from spiritual death, He had to die. Behold how much greater a miracle it is when a person gets saved. It is a greater miracle, although it does not appear so to our eyes, it is a greater miracle when a person gets saved than if someone rose from the dead. Why? To raise someone from the dead physically, all the Lord needs is a word. But to save our soul requires His death. And that is our hope declared. In verses 23 to 27, we have some of the most comforting words in the whole of Scripture. "Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto Him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Brethren and sisters, He is the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so we were dead in trespasses and in sins, yet now we live, if we are saved. And if you are here tonight, and you are dead in trespasses and in sins, it only takes a moment for you to become alive spiritually. And even if you die physically, you will never die eternally. He is the life. He is the resurrection. And we are speaking here of the Lord who spoke the world into being. The Lord who spoke a word and Lazarus was raised. And who yet may speak a word to your heart and raise you to walk in newness of life. Jesus saith unto her, verse 40, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? Do you wish to see the glory of God? Do you wish to see God manifest himself in your life? Do you wish to see the final glorification of God at the resurrection and at the end of all things? Well, then believe. It's very simple, really. It's one of those things that is simple, may not be easy, because you may like the way that you're living now, but it's very simple. Either Jesus is who he says he is, or he's not. Either he is the resurrection and the life, or he's not. Either he died for our sins, or he didn't. You know, I'm really impressed by these three. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Because Jesus found in their home all that he wanted. How is it with you this evening? When Jesus comes to you, does he find all that he wants? What does it mean to you that he wants to have fellowship with you? That he wants you to serve him? That he wants you to worship him? What does it mean to you? It meant everything to these three. And because it meant everything to these three, they were allowed to see the glory of God in such a way that we still read of the story and are astonished. He allowed them into his innermost secret. He shared himself with them, sat down at the table and ate with them. And it may be that he's speaking to your heart tonight. You know, the scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any will hear and will open the door, I will come in unto them and sup with them, and they with me. If you're here tonight without him, it's our prayer, our earnest prayer, that before you leave tonight, you will know what it is to worship him, and to have fellowship with him, to serve him. If you're here tonight, and it may be that you've lost that fire, you've lost that burning love for the Lord Jesus, and I speak as much to my own heart as to anyone here. Then let the story of these three impress you, and invite Jesus into your house. to you, the house that's in your heart, and sit down with him and sup with him. And if you would believe, you will see the glory of God. Shall we pray? Blessed Father, how we thank Thee for this wonderful story. Do we thank Thee for these three wonderful people who gave to our Lord Jesus what He wanted. Do we thank Thee for Him who is the resurrection and the life. We thank Thee that we may believe in Him and see Thy glory. Help us, therefore. We feel sometimes as that man who cried, Lord, I believe, help Thou mine unbelief. And in those areas, Father, where we do not believe, and so we have been held out from seeing Thy glory, we ask that Thou would give us the faith and the perseverance, like Thomas, that even if we have doubts, even if we believe that we may die, to persevere and to do those things that we know Thou wouldst have us to do, to follow our Lord Jesus no matter what, no matter what people say to us, no matter what people do to us, no matter what may befall us. These things we ask, praying especially for those that are here, we believe, Father, who are unsaved, that they would be impressed with our Lord Jesus, and that they would love Him as Lazarus and Mary and Martha loved Him. They may want to have fellowship with Him and worship Him and serve Him. We pray for them, Father, that tonight may be their exodus, that they may be let go into the wilderness to hold a feast to Thee and to serve Thee and to make sacrifice unto Thee. Lead them out of this Egypt, we pray, into the promised land. For we ask it in His name, who alone is worthy.